Our text this morning is in Acts chapter 2 at verse 41. Acts 2:41. Then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. And the subject that I would like to share with you this morning, it's a subject which is dear and precious to every true Christian. And it is the subject of the growth, church growth. And the Apostolic Church is probably the church that more than any other church experienced and enjoyed it growth. We have here, after one sermon, 3,000 souls saved. After one sermon. This is more or less three times the number of the whole free church continuing in one sermon. And then, after another sermon, you have the number increased of 5,000 people saved. And then you go on, and then you find thousands upon thousands of men of all kind saved and added to the number of the church. Many commentators believe that in a very short time there were probably about 1 million people converted. 1 million. Imagine what a growth. And surely the Apostolic Church was blessed with a phenomenal growth. And so we should look back to them and to see from their example and from their teaching if what is the secret, if we can use this word, what is the way that God blessed for that growth. And I want to say this by the way of the introduction. That growth was God-given. That growth was not the result of human methods and human strategies. That growth was given by the Lord. Our text says that that same day they were added unto them about 3,000. They were added. And in verse 47 we see that this addition was given by the Lord. It is the Lord who added to the church daily such as should be saved. When I'm talking to look back at the apostolic example and pattern and follow that example, I'm not saying that our method and our doing will produce conversion. That is not the biblical teaching. It is the Lord who adds such as should be saved. What I'm saying is, brethren, that we should look at the means that God has used to add so many new converts. Because God is sovereign, and God works according to His own will. But He is a God who uses His means. And if we want to enjoy God's blessing, if we want to see our church growing, we must follow the means that God has revealed and prescribed in His Word. And the first one that I want to look together with you is the apostolic preaching. What were the means that God used for such a phenomenal growth? And the first one is apostolic preaching. That's why I read this chapter. We have here an example of how the apostles preached. And their preaching was full of Christ. It was Christ-centered. This sermon that Peter preached was full of Jesus. He was not asked to preach an evangelistic sermon. He was not asked to talk about Christ. The people were mocking him about these strange things happening in Jerusalem. But he uses the occasion to preach Christ. He uses the opportunity given by God to speak about Christ. And after he gives the explanation of what's happening there as the accomplishment of a prophecy, then he moves from that prophecy to Christ. For him, that is just an excuse, if we can say this, an excuse to move to the subject of all subjects, Christ. And he fills his sermon with the person and work of Jesus Christ. He fills that sermon with the person of Jesus. And notice that in doing this, he applies the Old Testament scripture. He takes the Psalms and he shows to the people there. The Psalm speaks of Christ. And he applies the word of the Old Testament to the person and work of Christ. His sermon is full of Jesus. And this is the attitude of the apostles. The famous words of the Apostle Paul. We preach Christ crucified. Not me, but we. That is what we do as a church. It's our practice. Those that come to us under our ministry, this is what they're going to hear. Jesus Christ. And we find later on in the book of Acts, we are told that daily in the temple and in every house, they cease not to teach and preach Jesus Christ. What was their teaching all about? What was their exposition all about? What was the subject of their fellowship? Nothing else but Jesus Christ. And if the church wants to grow, we must preach Christ. But you say, me, I'm not a minister. What about me? There's a sermon that you should preach to the presbytery. But you can pray for us who are in the ministry. And you can pray for men raised by God in the ministry. That we would preach Christ. That we would focus our attention, our meditation, our studies, our preaching on Christ. It's very easy for us to get distracted and starting our series and our controversies and our theological fighting, and we forget to preach the main thing. We need the Lord's people keeping us on our toes in their prayers. Even Spurgeon had to be reminded of this. Even Spurgeon, the man who, in my opinion, preached Christ in a wonderful way, and yet he had to be reminded by an old lady in the congregation to preach Christ. And so we need, brethren, your prayers. Because if you want to see this church growing, I'm not talking just of Doors, but the continuing and other denominations in Scotland, if we want to grow, if we want to see men saved on a daily basis, if we want to see the Lord adding thousands to our numbers, surely we have to follow the apostolic example. And in our preaching, we should preach Christ. More than that, the preaching of the apostles was anointed by the Holy Spirit. Here is the great difference between a good sermon and a mighty sermon. A preacher should be able to preach a good sermon. If you speak of Christ, if you speak of Him, if you speak of the cross, if you speak of the truth, that is a good sermon. But for an almighty and powerful and saving sermon, You need the work of the Holy Spirit. And the apostles were blessed with that. They had their sermons. Very simple sermon. Not complicated one. But their sermons were blessed with the anointing of the Holy Spirit. The sermon that Peter preached, it's a very simple one. It's not very complicated. It's very straightforward in a simple language. It's very short. And yet, blessed by the Holy Spirit, became a blessing for 3,000 souls. And I think that the church today has lost the focus. We are organizing meetings, organizing activities, organizing many things. But the great thing that we are missing in our day and generation as a church is the blessing of the Holy Spirit. We need the Holy Spirit working through our sermons, touching the hearts of the unconverted, to touch their souls and break their unwillingness and make them willing. Only this will save the unconverted among us. Not a young minister, not a clever minister, not a gifted minister. What we need is sermons preached in the power of the Holy Spirit. And the Apostle Paul reminds the Thessalonians, our gospel came not in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Ghost. To the Corinthians, he describes his preaching with these words as not enticing words of man wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power. We don't need quantity. We need quality. And the great need of our day is for the work of the Holy Spirit. As a minister, I need the Spirit of God working in my heart and also working through me. If my ministry wants to be a blessing, must be done through the work and operation of the Holy Spirit. And you can't produce that work, but you can pray for it. And so if you want to see this congregation growing, if you want to see all the pews full, you have to pray that God would send the Holy Spirit to anoint your minister and other ministers and every faithful minister with the power of the Holy Spirit. If he preaches, if he speaks, sinners will be saved. If he calls, sinners will come to Christ. If he comforts, the one who is the comforter, you who are suffering, will be comforted indeed. But this is what we need. We need anointing of the Holy Spirit. That's the apostolic style in the preaching. But also, when we consider their preaching, there is an evangelistic emphasis. That is the emphasis that the apostle had. Notice that in his sermon, he calls sinners to come to Christ. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. But then later on, at verse 40, at the end of his sermon, we find that with many other words, did he testify and exhort, saying, save yourselves. That is the emphasis. Save yourself. The emphasis in the apostolic preaching was evangelistic. I am not saying that they only preach evangelistic sermons. I am not saying that they preach all the time from John 3:16. What I'm saying is that their emphasis, their focus, their aim was the salvation of sinners. And I'm sure in their preaching they fed God's people. I'm sure that in their preaching, they preached the whole counsel of God. But as they did that, their aim was to have the unconverted in their midst saved. And I think we have to rediscover this in our churches, particularly among Reformed churches. We have to be more evangelistic. as attitude, in our preaching, in our activities, in our doing, in our prayers, in our concern, we should be more evangelistic. This was the apostolic way in preaching. And if you look at their sermons, as they are recorded in the Bible, I know they're not just a little fraction of what they preached, and yet the emphasis recorded in the Bible, and there is surely a reason for that, is evangelistic. I was speaking to a man yesterday, we were talking about preaching, and this man was very keen in expository preaching, about going through chapter after chapter. And I can't deny that there is a usefulness in that. And I can't say it's wrong, because it's not wrong. But my point is that the emphasis, even in doing that, even if I start a series on Jeremiah, my emphasis must be evangelistic. My focus should be for sinners to be turned. And the fact that there are many Christians here, many professing Christians, doesn't mean that I have to stop that. Because I am a sinner, and so are you. And we need daily to be saved. Not to be regenerated, not to be justified, but we need daily to be turned from our evil ways to God's ways. So this is about their preaching. And the question for us is, are we? Are we as a church following the example of the apostolic church? Can we compare our preaching with the preaching of the apostles? And you can pray for us. Please pray for us that we would follow the biblical example. We believe as a church in the regulative principle. We believe that in matter of worship, we must follow the Bible example. Only what is prescribed in the Bible. Are we following this concerning our preaching? We might do this about the Psalms. We might do this about the order in our service. But are we doing this in our preaching? And surely the most important act of public worship is not some singing. It is the preaching of the gospel. That is the center in our worship. So let's move on now. Their preaching was used by God to add daily. But also what another things that God used was apostolic passion. Apostolic passion. The apostles and the apostolic church were passionate for Christ. They were full of love for Jesus Christ. That what moved them to do what they did, to preach as they preached, to serve as they served. The Apostle Paul declares, I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ. This was the motive of the Apostle Paul. This was the motive behind the church in the Apostles' day. To lose everything to win Christ. And the reason why they preached Christ so often, it is because they loved Christ. And the reason why they gave their lives for Christ is because they loved Christ. The reason why they were so concerned for the church and worked so hard for the church, it was out of love for Christ. This was their passion. Is this our passion? Are we passionate? And this is not just for me. It's for all of us who are professing Christians. For all of us who belong to the Church of Christ, are we passionate about Christ? Are we zealous about His name glorified? Are we zealous about His name being known and believed and proclaimed? Are we concerned for his kingdom, for his cause, for his people? The apostles were, and God blessed that. But also their passion was God's people, the church. The apostles were concerned with the people of God. They were concerned about the situation of the church. That's why they wrote their letters. Very often their letters are written to congregations out of concern for this congregation, to strengthen them, to encourage them, to comfort them, to teach to them. They were concerned for the people of God. The Apostle Paul says that he was very often awake at night and full of anxiety because of the situation of the church. He was always concerned, and the relief that the Apostle Paul had was when he heard that a congregation was flourishing. He was comforted to hear from Titus and from Timotheus that the church was going well. And he was concerned and afraid when the church was not. The church was important. And they served the church faithfully. They gave their lives, their zeal, their time, their energy for the good of the church. The church was not something for the Sunday. But the church was something that take their heart the whole week. Every day was a day to serve God and God's people. And this is evident even in the book of Acts. In the way that believers, not just the apostles, but the believer behaved. They sold everything they have and they shared with the Lord's people. They gave their lands, they gave their houses, they gave up everything that others who are more needy in the church might have something. I'm not saying you have to sell your farm or your house and to share with the congregation. What I'm saying is that we should show our Christian love, our concern for the brethren. We must show this. And the Lord used that. That love that was among the Lord's people was a wonderful witness to the unconverted. They were having the favor of the people. We read in verse 47. When the people in Jerusalem saw the law of God applied in the life of the church, when they saw that these men loved one another, they saw these men are the disciples of Jesus Christ. Not just in their sermons, but in their practice. And I think the best way for us to evangelize is not open-air preaching. It's not door-to-door evangelism. The best way for us to evangelize is let the world see the love that exists among the Christians. Let them see the transformation that the Holy Spirit has done in our life. Let them be jealous of us. Let them desire to be part of us. Because if you join Doors Congregation, you will be in a place where people love and care one another. And I think this is something that God uses. And very often you will find when you hear people saved, giving their testimony, you will find them say, the first thing that touched me was to see the love among the Christians. I could not understand their theology, their doctrine, their sermons, but something struck me immediately. These Christians love one another. And this surely is a means that God blesses to add people to his church. So their passion, Christ, the people of God, but also the lost. The lost. And this is linked to the evangelistic emphasis of their sermons. The apostolic church was concerned that others would be saved. Not just the apostle in the preaching, but the church was involved in evangelism. The church were ready to give a word in season. You will find not just the apostle preaching, but you find the believers, when persecuted, forced to move away from Jerusalem, preaching Christ and telling to others about Christ, witnessing about Christ. But also another passion was for the unreached. Not just the lost souls in Jerusalem, not just the lost soul in Judea and Samaria, but to the ends of the earth. And there you have the Apostle Paul. And he says that his intention was to preach in places where no one else went before. To spread the gospel as far as possible. To reach those that never heard the word of the truth. You find the Apostle planning to go to Spain and to preach the gospel there. That was his plan, to reach the unreached. It was a concern of the church in those days to establish the kingdom in every tribe, in every tongue, in every language, in every place, in every corner of the world. We should have the same passion, the same zeal. And you know, the Scottish church had this in the past. I don't think there was a church like the Scottish church in the past. For mission, for zeal. You sent more young men in Africa, in India, in China than any other church probably ever did and ever will. But what about now? We need this passion to be revived, to be quickened. We should be full of zeal and full of passion for the unreached. But are we? Do you pray in your prayers for the unconverted regularly? Do you pray that God will save those among us still unsaved? Do you make a point to pray for the people indoors, for the people in Tomatin? Not just your family, but those that you never know, never heard, never visited. Do you pray for them and their salvation? Are you concerned to see the church established and flourishing? Do you pray for the mission field? Do you pray for missionaries? Do you pray for tribes that don't have the Bible translated in their own language? We are so concerned about translation. We've got thousands of translations in English now. And there are people who don't even have a portion of the Bible translated in their own. But do you pray for this? Do you have a concern? Do you have a passion for it? The Bible speaks that God gives to His people according to the desire of His heart. Is the desire of your heart to see God's kingdom flourishing, God's people blessed, sinners saved? That was the case for the apostles. But also another thing that characterized the church in the apostles' days, that should be part and present with us, and I believe will be used by God for our blessing, for our growth, is boldness. The apostolic church was very bold. The apostles were full of authority. Why? Why were they so courageous, so brave, so fearless? The Spirit of Christ. They were anointed with the Spirit of Christ. Peter stands before thousands of men. The same Peter who denied Christ 50 days before. The same Peter who was locked in a room with other 120 people, afraid of others. The same Peter that went on fishing instead of serving Christ. The same Peter is now standing up preaching Christ in the eyes of enemies. The same Peter, so fearful, so scared, is now telling, "You have slain Christ by wicked hands. You have killed the Son of Glory. You have done it." Where all this authority comes from? He was full of the Holy Spirit. The Spirit of Christ was given to him. And you will find very often in the accounts of the Psalms that when men preached, they were full of the Spirit. That was something that made them bold. And the reason why we are not so courageous nowadays, that we are not full of the Holy Spirit. But also their boldness, it was due to the resurrection of Christ. They were preaching the truth and they knew it. They knew that Christ was risen from the dead. And that made them courageous. The Jesus that we preach is not dead, is not gone, He's alive. We saw Him alive, we touched Him, we had a meal with Him, We saw him. We saw him going up to heaven, received in the glory of the Father. We saw that. We are not preaching a lie. We are assured that what we are preaching is the truth. And we have lost that. I'm not saying that we don't believe the resurrection, because if you don't believe that, we are not Christians. We believe that, but we have lost that assurance that the Bible is the Word of God. Every single word given to us is God's very word. And what He says is the truth. And let the science say what they like. They are wrong and the Bible is right. And we preach someone who is glorious, someone who is invincible, someone who is going to defeat all his enemies. And we are on the right side. Peter could stand before men in their thousands, fearless, because he knew that he was on the side of the truth. And we are on that side, brethren. Today, the spirit that Peter had is the same spirit that we have. And the truth that Peter preached is the same truth that we preach today. We are on the same ground. But also, their boldness was due to the word of Christ. Christ promised them, "I am with you always." Christ promised to be with them. And this was a great encouragement for them. They could go everywhere. They could stand before every authority. It doesn't matter if that is the emperor. Christ is with us. And Christ promised them, "Don't be afraid of what to say. I will give you a word when you need." And so they were bold. Let's not be concerned. Let's not be afraid. God is on our side. God is with us. Who can be against us? And this made them bold. But that's the case for us today. The world is before us. The world should be our parish. How shall we reach them? How can we do that? God is with us. And if God is with us, there is nothing to fear. We are more than conquerors. Lastly, their boldness, their authority, their courage was because of their love for Christ. After being beaten, John and Peter came out of the Sanhedrin rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name. They were rejoicing. They were beaten. They were mocked. They were forbidden to speak again. They were threatened. And they went out rejoicing. Why? Because they were suffering for Christ. Because they were united with Christ in his suffering. Do we have the same? The same passion, the same assurance, the same delight of the apostle to suffer for Christ. And if you love someone, you are willing to suffer for that person. I'm sure if you're a father or a mother, when you see your children having a cold or being unwell, you would wish that you would have it and that they would be well. And when we love Christ, as we say, we are not willing to suffer with him and for him. So the apostolic church, their preaching, their passions, their boldness, a pattern for us to follow. And may God please to make us preachers like they were. And may the Lord give us the same passions and the same heart that they have. And may the Lord give us the same courage and the same boldness that they had. And I believe if the Lord blesses us in this way, we will see growth. We will see the Lord adding to the church such as should be saved.